designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight from American Idol, Randy Jackson is here. Randy's the good judge, the nice judge.
You know, I just try and do my thing, man.
Yeah, Paula's nice, but she's maybe a little too nice.
Well, you know, I mean, she's an artist, so, I mean, she remembers what, you know, people went through. I mean, you know, me and Simon a little bit on the hard-ass side, you know.
A little bit.
Simon, certainly.
Yeah.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I was thinking about what they put up with, though. It's very similar to what I have to put up with as a professional. You tell them what you think, and they go, well, you have your opinion. And whatever you think, it doesn't really matter, because I'm me, and I'm different, and that's the way it goes. It's like, well, wait a minute. You guys are professionals. Your opinions are professional opinions.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what we think. They're just so delusional. Dr. Drew, we need a pill for the delusional ones.
Yeah, there are pills for them. They just won't take them.
It's little, and it's made of lead, and you got to put it right in the forehead. It's a skin patch, so to speak. You got to lodge it deep beneath the skin.
Deep in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was watching the show tonight, and I was thinking... I actually had a couple of thoughts. They had a guest judge from Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Vernie and White, yeah, the bass player.
Right. And all I could say when I thought of him, I just kept looking at him and thinking, I wonder what his hair smells like. I thought, because this guy, you know, once in a while you see the black dude with the bouffant? Like, the guy's black, he's in his 50s, but he's wearing Mary Tyler Moore's hairdo from 1964. And all I can think of is, what does that smell like? What's that hair smell like?
You're cracking up, Bernie. That's funny, baby. That is funny.
Did you smell him? Did he get a shot of the hair?
No, you know, he wears a lot of nice cologne, though, man. I think he has it specially made. He's cool, though. He's cool. He's
Mary Tyler Moore's hair.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Am I right? What did his hair look like?
Yeah, it definitely have a bouffant vibe, but it's cool bouffant.
Yeah. I don't know. It works. It works on him. He kind of has a sort of a little bit of a pirate look.
Pirate crossed with Mary Tyler Moore. How does that work?
Pirates of the Penzance. Yeah,
of Penzance. Got it.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. And but anyway, I was watching the show. Well, that was last night. It ran last night and tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching, and you know, Simon comes down on guys, and you do too, and so does everybody sometimes. And sometimes they get up there and argue. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, we do a show where we try to tell people things, and they argue. And if you come up to them again, you're loaded for bear this time. And I thought, one guy did it. I can't remember the first contestant. He came out. He had the big fro on.
Oh, yeah, Ricky, yeah.
Ricky came out there, and Simon was reading him the riot act. And he said, well, you know, that's how you learn. And I thought, that's a good strategy. And it must make a difference if you lay it to one guy. And he's nodding his head, and he says, thanks for the advice. I'll take that into consideration, and I'll try to do better next time. You don't want to lay into him as hard next time, do you?
Well, no. I mean, you know, and the thing is that, listen, we're professionals, and we're there to give him advice and try and help him. Yeah. It's not just to, like, cut him down.
Right.
But also, it's to be honest. Yo, you out of tune tonight. No, yo, you were dreadful tonight. That was the worst performance. I mean, you know, so you can think about what you did. It's not to say, well, he's just being mean.
Right.
No, we're just trying to give him real, honest criticism, you know?
And isn't it, isn't the difference between, now listen, all you young a-holes out there, the difference between successful people and people that are just locked in a horrible holding pattern over some crappy airport for their whole life is the ones who can take some critique, some criticism, learn from it, not look at everything as a personal attack. I mean, there's people out there that if it's not praise, it's an attack.
Yeah.
Cop to it. If somebody's got some advice for you, listen to them, own it, and improve.
And improve. It's like, you know, you should just be nice to people because they're on TV. Mm. What? Mm. This is a reality show. They're trying to learn. That's the only way you grow, you know, by real criticism, you know?
So I can't figure out what's up with Ryan Seacrest this year, but his hair's different. Something's different on him.
He's got that disheveled kind of hair look.
I don't know. My favorite part of the show, though, is Simon giving him grief.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even see Simon give him grief.
He just gives people grief who remind him of Ryan.
Yeah. He's always giving him a little dig.
Well, I'm just looking at my cheat sheet here and seeing that Randy has worked on over 1,000 multi-platinum and gold albums. Really?
A lot of records, man.
Wow. I mean, how's that work?
Well, what do you know then?
I mean, exactly.
I'm me, and I'm just telling you.
Hey, we had somebody come up and say that. Well, what do you know? Who are you? You know, just a guy who's been in the business for 20 years. I don't know.
How'd you get started in the business?
I'm a musician. I play bass, and it led me to many great things. I mean, I started, you know, playing for a lot of people back up and started becoming a studio guy. That's how I did all those records. I was a studio musician.
Toured with NSYNC, Madonna, Mariah Carey, Elton John, and Destiny's Child. Who's the biggest pain in the ass out of all those people?
I don't know. No one I've worked with. Come on, Adam.
Elton.
No, we love Elton. Elton was mad cool.
Elton was cool? Madonna.
Madonna was mad cool, too.
Mariah.
Nah,
yeah.
She was mad cool, too.
Everyone's mad. Yeah, but if everyone's mad cool, no one is mad cool. That's what I say. It's like if everyone's a genius, then we're all just average.
No, everyone's not a genius.
There you go. So everyone
cool,
can't be mad
I'll give you
cool.
That. I'll give you that. Cool, but not genius now.
And Randy's cousin is Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, no, that's not true.
That's not true?
No, why did they say that?
And that means it's true. Did you hear the way it's
yeah. Evidently, it sounds like a Star Magazine rumor.
I see you.
You're looking at the resemblance? It's in the teeth. Our teeth look alike. Yeah.
Yeah. He's also got a little Forrest Whitaker in him, too. So I don't
know.
All right.
Forrest Whitaker, yeah.
All right, where are we, Drew? You ready to take some calls?
Ready to go. I hope Randy's ready for this.
Yeah, and is American Idol running all... It's just Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, every week on Fox.
All right. I'm watching. Let's talk to Leslie, who's 22. Leslie?
Hi.
What's up?
Okay, I had a question. My fiance and I, we've kind of discussed this over time. We've discussed maybe having a foursome.
Foursome?
A foursome.
Go, Randy.
He knows that there's somebody that I like, but I wouldn't act on it.
This is your fiance.
Right, it's all right. Sounding, getting more quickly screwed up.
I mean, yeah.
It's just like devolution.
When are you planning on getting married, just because it'll make it funny?
A year from actually the 4th of April.
Okay.
And what is the reason for him wanting the foursome for fun?
She wants it.
You want it?
No. We've discussed it. Because, I mean, there's somebody I like, but I wouldn't act on it.
You see that? That's her little code for she wants it.
Wow.
He's not been with very many people. I have more experience than he does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a Chasing Amy syndrome. He thinks that if we do this together, it kind of puts him on the same
playing field.
Well, who's the guy?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Who's the guy?
Kind of like an ex that I had done things with over about a year and a half
ago. And you want to bring him and his girlfriend into the action?
Him and another girl.
Another girl.
He doesn't want to do this.
Wait a minute, though. How do you recruit the foursome that's not a couple?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How do you know this girl?
It's a friend of his.
Oh.
But do you think she's going to agree to get... Well, first off, why don't you guys just go off in separate parts of the house and F each other? What do you can't have a non-couple foursome. You got two strangers. You know what I mean?
In other words, you guys ought to just go out and have sex with
just
people.
Just swap it out.
Yeah, you should just call it open for a minute.
Yeah, it's never going to work the way you guys are trying to do it. There's a problem in this relationship, and there's a problem with the timing for marriage at this point in at least your boyfriend's life. And you're going to have to cope with that and address that in a realistic way, not try to sort of force reality to come to terms on your terms with it by bringing another couple in and we're going to kind of control it. He's going to have the opportunity to have sex with more people, but I'll be there to observe it and I'll have a referee's whistle. Yeah, it won't work. It'll create tremendous resentments and all kinds of strange feelings you cannot anticipate. And at the same time, you kind of are wandering and you kind of would like to be with this other guy.
It sounds like she wants to be back with the ex.
Not the way you
Why
walk
would you
into
pick
a,
the ex?
Yeah, not the way you get into a marriage. Not the great
way. Not the good way.
I would never do anything with the other person. I mean...
Yeah, you're 22 now. 10 years from now, it may look a lot more appealing to you, especially...
Well, wait a minute. Oh, you mean she'd never cheat on him, but you're just talking about screwing him...
This has mainly been more his idea than my idea.
And how does he know he's going to get the girl to go along with this?
I'm not sure.
You know, it's funny. I love the fact that women that are with a guy think that guy can draw some tail.
Some tail, exactly.
Because they got them. Because exactly. They're stupid enough to screw them. They figure the nation feels the same way. And I love it when they do that. When they're especially when the chick's really hot and the guy's a slob. It's like, I saw the way that girl was looking at my Donald.
He must be pretty bold, though, dog. Because, I mean, if he wants your ex in there,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
well, you know what? As a guy, I think we can all agree on this as a strategy, which is, first off, doesn't count as another guy. You know what I mean? If right. she's got 20 guys on her resume, it's still 20. It's just instead of doing it 1,100, it's 1,101 with the ninth guy.
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As retarded as that sounds, you would go with that, right?
You've got to clarify that. Because guys know exactly what you're talking about, but women hear Charlie Brown's
t-shirt. You got to talk about it, dog.
Yeah, the fact is that men have this, the way men's brain works, it's about competition,
right? Mm-hmm.
And if some other sperm is being introduced, it's a problem. if the old sperm brought back, it's like, well,
right? Because you already know you got the reciprocal of that, so you're one now.
Well, here's what it's like. It's like, how many miles of penis has your gal taken?
Wow.
Other than yours.
I thought we only did that in the hood. We always said it. We look at a girl, we go, that's about 20 miles.
How many miles? How many miles? But here's the thing. if your dork is 8 inches and you nail there 10,000 times, it still only counts for one eight inches toward that mile.
Right.
So you want to bring that guy back because he's already used his 8 inches up toward the overall length of what your gal has in her hypothetical vagina.
And listen, and women will hear this and think, oh, aren't they funny? They're being cute. No, no, this is how male
minds
work.
This is true.
A guy does not want his woman to be with another guy. Shut up.
Huh?
Would you shut up over there? I'm talking.
Go ahead, finish.
Huh?
All right,
huh?
Idiot. Well, he does horrible radio over there.
Finish.
What? Jump in. But if he has a choice between her being with an old boyfriend and a new guy, he will take the old boyfriend every single time.
But why would he want, doctor, why would he want to have her with an old boyfriend?
He doesn't. He will accept that for the reasons we've been talking about.
Because he wants to be with someone new.
Because he wants to be with someone new.
I think it's a little deeper than that.
I think
that he thinks she wants to be with the old boyfriend, therefore he can check it out.
She does want to be with the old boyfriend, but I think a guy would go to any length not to let that happen because he knows that something might rekindle and it could be a big trouble.
Right.
In spite of this business we've been talking about, though, and the 8 inches towards a mile business, it's really about evolution. It's about not wanting to introduce new genetic material to the equation.
Right.
You want your genetic material, and that's how our brains have evolved, to be able to, you know, procreate.
I'd like to beat off into a fan, a ceiling fan, and have thousands of women
with a bunch of girls watching. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Or maybe get an Apache helicopter and spray it out of its guns.
Yeah, actually, my plan was to save up for 1 year and then load up into a crop duster and hit urban areas.
Metropolis. Yeah.
And just douse them like a terrorist.
That's good time.
That would take a lot, dude.
You haven't seen me work.
You
got to
save up,
that's
man.
That's a lot. Elizabeth?
Yeah.
What's up?
Do you have a few days?
No, hurry.
Because I got a lot of problems. Anyways. I have two children.
Yeah.
And had fears previously that their father might have been molesting them.
Were you molested growing up?
Yeah.
Okay.
You were? All right.
Yeah.
So you understand that increases the probability that you'd be attracted to a molester.
Right.
You understand
how
that works. Right. So you brought a wolf into the kitchen, chicken coop.
Nice. Yeah, I believe so.
All right. And so is there any evidence to this effect?
Well, there's a lot of emotional evidence, I feel. And I've spoken to other people, and you know, when I tell them the scenario and the situations that are happening, they tend to agree with me.
All right. Well, sometimes your fear and anxiety of the possibility of this happens can affect the emotional development of the children. So if you really believe something is going on, the important thing is to make a call to social services and let somebody come in and investigate this.
Right.
Well,
I've taken them to doctors, and they don't find any physical evidence.
Right.
I've also taken them to psychologists, and I've spoken to another psychologist, and the psychologist, the one that I've spoken to that hasn't seen the kids, had actually said that, you know, red flags going up everywhere with everything that's going on.
Well, hold on. Let's just figure this out. Is the guy an alcoholic?
Yes.
So he gets drunk and is around the kids.
Yes.
All right, so that's going to help.
Are there already abusive things happening besides any overt sexual abuse? Is he emotionally abusive or physically abusive?
When we were married, he was very physically and emotionally abusive.
All right, so the kids have tons of reasons to get help already. Are you away from him now?
Yeah, unfortunately, I did something stupid. Mm-hmm. And because of my fear, I left the state and moved to Texas.
Why was that stupid? That sounds like a genius move.
She left her kids behind.
I didn't ask the judge's permission, and they took my kids, called it kidnapping.
Wow.
I didn't have enough proof of sexual abuse.
Yeah. Mm. And he'd done some drugs, too, right?
Yeah.
I've done drugs? No.
Really?
I don't do drugs, no.
You drink?
No.
You don't do drugs anymore.
No.
Do you have a criminal record?
I'm not going to say I've never done them. I used to smoke the occasional joint,
really?
And that's about it.
Do you have some sort of criminal record?
No, I have no criminal record. I'm a good parent.
Why would they take
that?
And they took your kids from wherever you were and brought them over to him?
I had to move back to Arkansas.
And they moved the kids back with him?
Uh-huh.
So the kids are back with him now?
The kids are living with him now.
Wow. Something's missing here.
Yeah, this is...
What'd you do? Something's up with you.
What did I do?
You did something.
I up and left.
No.
I didn't tell them I was leaving. I up and left.
Yeah, but...
That's what happened.
And there's pieces missing here.
Okay.
Because listen, you can't be the world's greatest mom with no prior criminal records and gainfully employed and all that kind of stuff and try to take your kids to safety. And they not only take your kids, but give them over to him.
And somebody with whom you
I'm not going to lie, I'm somewhat messed up myself.
Yeah.
The court knows something about you.
No, actually, there's really nothing to know about me. I didn't have an attorney. I couldn't afford it. I wasn't employed at the time because when they took my kids from me, I had to move from Texas to...
Were you living on the street?
No. I was living with a boyfriend.
What's screwed up about you?
What's screwed up about me?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, a lot of stuff. I was molested when I was younger by a neighbor, molested again when I was just preteen. By an uncle, found out later that he was molesting his daughter, and I feel like if I would have spoke up, it might have been able to stop
that. No, don't blame yourself.
No.
Okay, so listen, so let's just try to get a handle on this. This is interesting, because on one hand, you were molested, so you would be more attracted to a guy who would do this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, your dad didn't molest you.
When my mom brought it up to my grandmother that my uncle was doing this to me, the first thing my grandmother said was, how could her dad be doing that to her? And she said, no, it wasn't her dad. It was her uncle.
Okay, well, maybe you got... Okay, thanks for butting in that useless piece of information right in the middle of my tag. Quiet down over there. Put it on hold. I can't talk. Okay, which says to me, though, when her grandmother piped up, that the whole family's just going at each other.
One
big daisy chain.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? Let me say this. Let's talk culturally for a second
here.
It seems to me the whites and the Mexicans go at each other this way. I don't think the blacks go at each other this way.
No, it's not that popular. But, I mean, you know, it happens. I don't think it's like a racial thing. I think it's just, you know, crazy people.
No, but certain... Yes. I've talked to cops in certain areas and certain cultures, like the Latino culture. It's more rampant than it is in this culture.
It has a rapid growth built into it. And so wherever it breaks out, it breaks out.
Well, whatever you want to call it.
There's always some substance involved.
Yes, that's very true.
There's differences in every culture. Why can't this be woven into that? It's not. It's just this is all the same. This is the same across the board, but everything else is different.
No, more alcoholism in certain ethnic groups.
Yeah, more alcoholism. That's what I think it is. I mean,
I'm just saying each culture seems to have their own effed up, their own Achilles heel.
Definitely.
Their own Achilles heel, and this is not one of the brother man. Maybe the dad split too early and ain't around to molest. Maybe that's it. Maybe if they hung out, they would molest. But the point is everyone's got their own Achilles heel, and this is not the brother's man's problem. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All right, now, we'll get back to her. So here's the thing. One is she got molested, so we all know she might want to pick a molester.
Yep.
The other thing is she got molested, so she may see molestation wherever she looks.
Right, exactly.
And he may not be doing anything. The court may understand that. It's starting to wash out that way. She's taken the kids to doctors. They've not found anything. The court saw fit to give the kids
back to
the
dad.
She's protesting.
Yeah, that's
to the
something
court.
In there, though. The court giving the kids back. That's something in there, though.
It's something that we're missing.
Yeah, that's something in there.
Yeah. All right. So, Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here's what you did, though. You got screwed over when you were a kid, and then, like so many people, you hooked up with a person that wasn't a great person, and unfortunately had a couple of kids with them, and then you got yourself into this unenviable situation. I don't know what you can do. You don't have any money. You don't have an attorney. You're going to have a hard time getting these kids back from the court and back from him. I think the best thing you can do is get your life together and get yourself a good job, get yourself cleaned up, have a decent relationship, create a stable environment.
Try to get visitation with the kids, stay around with them.
Talk to one of those parent advocacy rights places, those lawyers that do the pro bono work and all that kind of stuff, and start doing it. But start working on yourself. Okay. Getting the job, taking care of yourself, getting some therapy for what you've been through.
Why Texas? I'm just curious.
Just to get away. But well, I was going to mention the thing that I did leave out was it was never mentioned in court that, of the molestation because there is no proof, and I didn't want that to be used against me, that I was accusing him of something I had no proof of.
Yeah, and when you talk to the kids, what do they say?
I asked my son about it, and he just turned pale.
Yeah, but
it doesn't mean anything.
He's a white kid, right?
Well, I'm half Mexican.
Oh, okay.
My two daughters.
Well, not you, but what's this guy? Is he Mexican?
No, he's a white guy.
Ah, he's fine. Oh, no, wait a minute. Black guy would have been good.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. All right, listen. But you, again, reading in, your son didn't say anything. You read something into the way his skin color changed. Right,
Adam,
it just doesn't
you've
mean
given
anything.
Given as much advice as we can give.
Yeah.
All right, you've done it.
Luis?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Okay, I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
From the time I was 13 till the time I turned 21, I did massive amounts of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine, LSD, marijuana, shrooms, and alcohol, majority of it.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned 21, I had a big party, woke up the next day, and just straight out quit everything. I ain't touched anything in 5 years. And I don't know, it's just like I grew out of it. But now that I'm getting older, I notice from the massive amounts of LSD that I've done, I don't know if it's a flashback or what term to use, but I could be listening to music or something, mainly like that. So when I'm listening to music, I could take a deep breath, and I mean, I'm higher than a kite.
Hmm.
And it feels like I'm right back. You know, I could think about something that happened when I was partying and I was younger, and I mean, it makes me feel happy and stuff. It just kind of freaks me out that I could get high like that off of.
Well,
you know,
it may be a true flashback, and no one knows really what those are. Or it may be some sort of state-dependent reaction you're getting. In other words, as you get memories, it sort of throws you back into that state of high. It's like a conditioned response that you get.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you need to watch out for, though, is with all that acid, particularly during developmental years, you're going to end up with severe depressions. Do you still see trailers?
No.
That's good.
I've noticed that I have a tremor once in a while underneath my eye.
Yeah.
And like I said, I have friends that party and stuff like that, and a lot of them are freaked out because I just totally quit it, and I still hang around with them. I go to the bars with them.
Well,
I don't drink.
Just because you might have been one of these heavy abusers that is not an addict. There is such a thing. People that use a lot of drugs that don't become addicted, and particularly people lose a lot of hallucinogens fit into that category. The problem is the hallucinogenics, the LSD, the ecstasy, the mushrooms, all that are the most. Amongst the most damaging to your brain. So be careful if you get depressed. Get it treated because it's going to be chronic, okay?
All right, Luis. Hey, but good times, all right, buddy?
Yeah, have a good time, dog.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you have 5 years sober. God bless him.
That's good, right. Man.
Yeah, and, you know, people don't really get addicted for some reason to the mushrooms and the LSD.
No, they don't.
They
can
stuff.
Get tolerant to it. If you use like 6 days straight, you need more each day.
You need more each day. Yeah. I know that. I know about that.
So, ooh,
you do?
Yeah,
ooh, wow. Everyone has a past.
Said.
You know the past. What are you going to do?
Mushrooms?
Shrooms, dude.
Really?
You got to call them shrooms.
Shrooms, dude. Really?
Hey, man. Well, shrooms were hot.
You know... See, along with my racial stereotypes, I don't have the brother man doing shrooms.
Right.
He's got his own sets of
drugs.
Yeah,
but it's the musician trumps everything.
Musician does everything, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because, you know, you get tired of one, you want to try something else.
Listen, I love those mushrooms, but I've probably only done mushrooms like 3 times in my life. Each time I announce this is the greatest thing ever, and then 9 years later I do them again. It's like they don't take. It's a weird thing. You know what shrooms is like for me? Fish and chips.
No.
I eat fish and chips, and I think, wow, this is great. I got to eat this every week. And 14 years later, it's my second batch. Yeah. I don't eat enough fish and chips, Drew.
Let's bring it back.
Let's get into some of that fish and chips.
Right.
You know,
immediately.
I like to eat more egg salad, too.
Egg salad.
Good.
Yeah. How about tuna salad?
I eat tons of turkey and not enough egg salad. I'm going to get on that.
All right, here we go. All right,
let's get some fish and chips and some egg salad going. Randy Jackson here tonight from American Idol. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Dr. Drew, Bad Religion in here tomorrow night. Our good friends, Bad Religion, one of the smartest bands out there.
Yeah.
And
good band.
Been around for as long as I've been on radio.
We like them.
Yeah, and good guys. So it'll be good to see the guys tomorrow night. Randy Jackson is in here tonight. Randy,
what up?
From American Idol, and that's Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights on Fox. Now, I was saying, Drew's got his dogs in here.
Mm-hmm.
Nice dogs, though, man.
Yeah.
What's up, dogs?
You can give them a... Must be nice to say dog and actually be talking about a dog.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, you know what I'm saying? Because it's true, you know what I'm saying?
So, Drew, you can give him a downstay.
Yeah.
Drew, you got the timeouts for the kids and the... What do you got for the wife, though? That's the one you really need.
Yeah.
And the radio partner.
The two
challenges are me.
There might be a bend over in there somewhere.
Adam, yeah. Adam, my wife.
I was thinking we'll go back to the phones here, but I was talking about during the break, talking to Randy and Drew about watching documentaries. I go home watch a Hitler documentary every night.
Well, what does that do to you?
There was on the History Channel.
You're an upbeat guy.
Yeah, wow.
It has sort of a happy ending in that he kills himself, you know? And it's nice to see the Russians and the Americans sort of storming through town and blowing up big swastikas and stuff like that, you know? But I always think, God, I could have got a ton on eBay with that thing. It hadn't blown that thing up. But and then, of course, De Gaulle gets to triumphantly march through Berlin as well, as if he did anything.
As if he did, yeah, exactly.
Cower in some wine cellar for 3 years, a pussy French. I'm tired of those people, please.
Oh.
But here's what I was thinking. You know, every night on the History Channel, it's like Hitler's henchman, and then Eva Braun, you know, Hitler's mistress
girl,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, like, what about the Hitler state? You know what I mean? Or they get, like, Elvis. The Elvis estate gets a ton of money off Elvis-related stuff.
I think that was dismantled long ago.
The Hitler estate?
Yeah.
But
are you sure?
But I'm just saying, the History Channel gets tons and tons of programming. They throw the guy's name and likeness around.
Yeah.
Some daughter living in New Jersey or something that gets a taste or something.
I don't think so.
I don't want anyone to get rich off it, but where's that money going?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think when the Saddam stories are told, anybody will be getting money about that.
Are you sure he had like 58 brothers or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I just don't
Let's
think.
Start looking into securing those rights.
Yeah.
The three of us.
Right. No, not the rights.
Right? Splitting the cash.
Yeah. Every time they do one of those Saddam's mistresses, cha-ching.
Right.
We do one of these token things where we donate like 2% to some cause that no
2%.
One's heard of. Carol?
Hi.
You're 29?
Yes, I am. Hi, Adam. Hi, what? Dr. Drew. Hi,
what's
Randy
up?
Jackson. How are you doing?
How you doing? What's up?
I'm doing good. Hey, Adam, I work at a gas station. In fact, I'm working right now, and I want to tell you that we let special people like you use our bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're calling from New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably have to pull over and take a squirt somewhere around New Mexico or someplace like that. You know, I don't think I'd make it all the way there.
Well, I was out in L.A. in October, and I understand what you mean by walking into a gas station not being able to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I think New England gas stations are a tad bit different than the L.A. inner city stuff.
They're not they're not manned by angry Shiites who don't give a Shiite about where you take a leak.
No, we're just manned by angry women. There's about 80% women who work here.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Lesbian?
What, lesbian?
Sort of butch lesbian types?
No, not all of them.
But most.
But most, wow.
All right.
Lesbian.
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am.
I got an impression that you had a guest on a couple months ago that you didn't like New Hampshire for some reason. I was wondering.
I didn't like New Hampshire? I love New Hampshire. I went to school in New England.
Wow.
UMass Amherst?
No, Amherst College.
Amherst College. Ah.
And so we used to go straight up into Vermont and stuff all the time.
Oh, okay, okay.
Whatever.
I'd like to see the leaves change and all that.
Yeah. Oh, my
it's
God.
Beautiful,
it's
man.
Unbelievable.
It's beautiful, man.
It's really pretty. I have another question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I was watching. I'm a big baseball fan, and I noticed that Derek Jeter just separated his shoulder during the opening day for them. I want to know exactly what that means.
Usually, as I understand it, there's a tendon between the clavicle and the acromion, which is the top part of your scapula. It's where it forms your shoulder, and you can pull that apart. You can rip the rotator cuff. There can be a pull in the bicep tendon. Lots of different things can kind of pull apart in there.
Stuff comes out of the socket and then comes back, right?
Yeah, that's a dislocation.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened to him?
Yeah, he was fighting headfirst into third base, and I guess the catcher or the other team, like, almost tackled him.
So it's
literally it pops out and it stretches all the time. They put it back in.
Yeah, they had to pop it back in.
Yeah,
it looked like it hurt like hell.
It did. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's painful. Listen, you're talking to a guy who had a shoulder dislocation for 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah, did not go back. Had to be surgically put back.
Oof.
That was tough. Popping out, brutal.
Oof.
But not popping back for 4 days, bad times.
You know,
you
can get the blood supply cut off, permanent nerve damage.
They thought my arm wasn't going to grow.
Yeah.
Really?
That's just the growth plate damage, but that you can actually pinch off the nerve and the blood supply and be a mess.
Well, it
hurt enough, I'm sure.
And let me tell you about trying to reset something like a shoulder. They shoot it up and they try to reset it. If they don't reset it, they don't get a second shot. I mean, you can't get near you. I had to check in the hospital, be put to sleep.
Wow.
Oh, it was
brutal. Let's not do that again.
No.
Did you play any sports before music?
Football, yeah.
Was it college or high school?
High school, rock 'em, sock 'em.
You ever dislocate anything?
No, I had a couple knee operations, though. I had those things happen, but those were painful, too.
That's real. That's not
just going with such adrenaline, you know, it was hard for me to tell. I walked around on it for a while.
Yeah, Adam, you're right. Right. Adam is a pussy.
No. Listen, how dare you? I have had a knee dislocation. It popped out.
The patella dislocated.
Whatever dislocated in my knee, it popped out, and then it popped back.
That's not what he's talking about.
Surgery.
Oh.
Jackass.
Right. Your knee? You had surgery on your knee?
Yeah.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was arthroscopic surgery, wasn't it?
Yeah, those are the good kinds.
Yeah, I needed surgery.
Oh, wow.
But
still hurt.
It's funny, you never mentioned that.
Yeah. It wasn't that big. I mean, it wasn't.
Knee injuries are big deals.
No, but the shoulder. The shoulder was like taking a bullet in the chest. Like, I couldn't be moved. It screwed up my whole. I was like 12 or 13.
Oh, wow.
It's Pop Warner football. But
the knee
thing you could sort of hobble off with.
Mm.
The shoulder thing you couldn't let, no one could touch you. That it stopped the football game, cut my jersey off, called an ambulance.
Wow.
Called the game.
Were you out here? Did you grow up out here?
Oh, no. Louisiana, the dirty, dirty South, man.
Louisiana. Where
about? Yeah, Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge. Red stick.
Do you know why they call it Baton Rouge?
No.
You know why? Yeah. You must have, because the guys that were the original surveyors came around, the French guys came around with a red stick.
And yeah, red
marked
stick.
It out and boom, put them down.
Yeah.
Yep, but here it is. This is red the stick. Red stick.
Baton Rouge.
Really?
Yeah.
That does sound a hell of a lot better than red stick, though.
red stick, Louisiana.
LSU's down there.
Yeah, man.
You go to school there?
Yeah, well, a bit, yeah. I went to both, LSU and Southern. It was a good time, baby.
Melissa?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a problem with self-mutilation, and I like to do it, but I don't like to do it. But
what do you do?
What?
What's your technique?
What's your technique?
I cut with blades.
On your legs, your forearms, where?
Arms and my legs.
Your legs. So you're sort of hiding it from people?
Yes.
All right, and what's the question?
Well, I don't hate to do it until after I've done it.
Do you feel a lot of shame and guilt and remorse?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, what is it you hate afterwards?
Well, I guess just because it's not normal, so I guess maybe that is shame.
That's shame, yeah.
So the fact, though, that I like it while I'm doing it makes me wonder if I actually do like it or if it's like...
Well, people don't do it because they don't like it. You know what I mean? They do it because it does something for them. Whether it is a way of inducing a sort of dissociative state where they removes them from some painful feelings, or whether it sort of makes them feel more alive because they can actually feel something. And they, in either case, they get biological changes, endorphin surges, this sort of thing that helps people who have very primitive mechanisms for dealing with feelings. It helps them sort of distance themselves from them or deal with them. And it really is a sign of real profound pain and that you need help.
Is it something that it's like you're punishing yourself or something?
They're not trying to hurt themselves. They literally, there's various versions of it. Some people go into a fugue state and they start doing it. Other people are really doing it because they're sort of, they get high from it.
Right.
Whatever
right.
it is, it's a way of, it's a response to very primitive injuries and a brain that can't manage feelings any other way.
Right.
Just the behaviors are just induced as a way of just coming to terms and managing with things that are overwhelming.
Mm.
And Melissa, this is treatable, but it's a sign that you need help.
Well, I go to a doctor, but every time I try to talk about it, it's like he doesn't even want to touch the subject.
What kind of doctor is it?
Well, he's a psychiatrist.
All right. Well, it's not so much talking about the self-mutilation that helps you.
Yeah, but what do you mean he doesn't want to touch it?
Go to a different doctor.
Yeah.
He'll jump around on the subject, and I'll ask him this, and he'll say, no, it's not really that, and then he just jumps to something else.
Well, I mean, he probably doesn't want to talk about the symptom. He probably wants to talk about what motivates it.
Right.
I mean, whatever happened to you when you were younger. What did happen to you?
What do you mean?
Anything bad?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't great, yeah.
All right, so those are the things you need to talk about.
And being a trauma survivor sort of leaves you with certain kinds of brain mechanisms and wiring and certain injuries that you gotta learn to deal with by developing a new relationship, a therapeutic relationship with someone that can help you develop the mechanisms for managing overwhelming feelings.
How long have you been going to this doctor?
Oh, hold on a second. Let me get it back. How long have you been seeing him?
On and off since maybe I was like 15 or 16.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I've been doing it since I was 9, though.
The self-mutilation.
Drew, would you recommend a different doctor?
Well, with folks like Melissa, having a long-term relationship and being able to learn to trust and developing a deeper relationship with anybody is almost more important than anything. So the fact that she's been able to be with one guy for 7 years is important and sort of leads me to believe that maybe she shouldn't change. On the other hand, maybe the reason she can tolerate this relationship is this guy really doesn't offer her much.
Right,
and
that's
she
what I'm
can't
saying.
Tolerate. She might want to talk to him about perhaps getting a therapist. Maybe the psychiatrist has just been sort of managing you, supervising you, giving you meds, that kind of thing. Maybe a more intensive therapeutic relationship with someone that he recommends would be more appropriate for you.
Right.
I always hear self-mutilation, but it's always the same thing. It's always the razor blade on the...
Somebody like, cigarettes and...
Yeah, I like to see someone put an M80 up their ass. So.
M80 up the ass? Thanks. We'll have that call next week,
I'd like
I'm sure.
I'd like to talk to that guy. Or just
it has to be a guy, doesn't it?
Just like
wouldn't be that girl.
No.
That's very sexist.
All right, let's take ourselves a little bit of a break. Randy Jackson is our guest tonight from American Idol, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Randy Jackson is our guest tonight. He's the number one judge from American Idol. And they don't shake the order up, do they? They go to you first each time.
They
right?
go to me first, yeah. Yeah, usually first up.
Now, it would almost seem like in normal, like I just was a judge on Star Search, and they'd mix it up. They'd go to Ben Stein once.
Well, we do that before we get to the top 12. We do that in the other weeks, yeah.
Now you go in order, and you're the point man.
Yeah, I lead it off. You know, it's like a relay, yo.
Yeah, that makes you the slow one, though.
Yeah, exactly. The anchor.
No, you ain't the anchor. Ironically, the anchor is the fast one.
The last guy.
I should be the anchor,
though. Yeah, yeah, you'd be the anchor if it's a tug of war.
Exactly. It's like, hold them down.
Do you guys discuss stuff amongst yourselves much? Or
No, you know, we just kind of shoot off the cuff. I mean, yeah. It's a real reality show in that, you know, we come in and it's how we feel. It's not like scripted. You know, we're not actors, so we could even be actors.
It's funny when you say that, you're talking about the reality component. Something sticks in my mind when the first part of this season where people were coming in who were just atrocious.
Right, right.
And Paula was going, what do they think they sound good? How could this be? You know, did you think you sound good? I'm interested. You know, what do you think you sound like?
Well, you know, when you hold an open audition, you could go out on the street here, right?
Sure.
Can anyone out here sing and you have a TV camera? You're going to get some wacko freaks, yeah. Nutters, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you won't be able to tell these people anything because they've already gotten up the nerve to do it.
And, yeah. It seemed to me, but you would know a lot better than I would, that season one, probably not as many of those people as season two auditions.
Well, we only saw about 10,000 people. This time we saw 60,000 or 70,000 people.
Wow. Oh my God. And so they selected for some interesting people.
Oh, yeah. The whole idea is a cross-section of everything that comes in, so no one can say, well, they turned me away because they thought I might be crazy, or they thought, you know.
They were looking for this type or that type.
Right.
Sheriff?
Oh, Adam's going to give you an example of his talent.
Wow,
he sings,
very good.
He sings classic
porn themes.
Themes from porn in the 70s.
Now, what movie was this?
Taboo 2.
Taboo 2.
He can do more than you'd ever.
Go for it, baby.
Do it with style.
Yeah.
He does it with me.
Wow.
Oh, yes, he does.
Who's he?
He's the guy. His guy's effing his mom and his sister.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Had to ask,
here's the important
part. Wow, so important.
Maybe you did, but you don't. See, I don't have the pipes, but I got the attitude.
Yeah, you got it, baby.
He only reveals what he wants you to see.
Wow.
And then shows it all. And when he does, he satisfies me. I pointed to myself where people are.
I think you and Howard Stern should do an album, man. Duets you never wanted to hear.
There's big crescendo here. Big crescendo. You'd want him to if you only knew.
They cut you off.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. All right, Randy, what are your thoughts?
Oh, terrible. Absolutely horrible.
Oh,
but
on.
You and Howard Stern, the duet album.
And
duets nobody wants to hear, man.
Do you think you sound good?
You're jealous,
I'm curious.
Man. What do you know?
Yeah, I'm jealous. What do I know?
Mr. Thousand Gold Albums.
Yeah.
Cheryl?
Well, the dogs are a little upset here.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
That's true.
No, don't
do
that.
That's true. Oh, it's horrible, right?
Yeah, don't do that.
See?
I like this
stuff.
Rockola.
She's singing about cough drops.
Ricola.
That's right. The cough drop is lamenting the loss of its container.
Yeah. This is a wild show, baby.
All right. That's enough. Randy hears enough crappy singing during the day.
Oh, you know that's true.
Give him a break.
God.
Cheryl? Cheryl, you're 19.
Randy's into opera, I can tell. Cheryl.
I love opera.
Cheryl?
All right, let's...
Wait, one more time.
No, just pick another call. Screw Cheryl.
All right.
All right. Oh, this is a feel-good call of the month. Tammy?
Tracy,
all right.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if I was there.
That's all right. Your name is Tracy.
Yeah.
All right,
here we go. You're on the air.
Okay.
All right, go.
Oh, I'm going to ask my question.
Yeah.
I want to know... Okay. I had a son die 6 months ago at 2 months of SIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were talking about self-mutilation, right?
Yeah.
I got suspended by flesh hooks.
How come?
It's kind of...
Well, wait a second. Hold on a second. Hold on.
To make up...
Wait, quiet down. Hold on.
You suspended yourself.
Yeah.
From meat hooks?
From meat hooks. Six gauge.
From
my back.
Because your son died of SIDS a few months earlier.
Yeah.
What? Who did this to you?
A friend of mine. Somebody who does it professionally.
Does it professionally.
Yeah, you know, it's like some of the heavier tattoo parlors or some of those guys do, you know.
Wow.
How many hooks does it take to suspend you?
Four.
Yeah, you know, some of the heavier
piercing.
Depends
on your weight. I think it's like 80 pounds a hook, 50 pounds.
All right, and what is this supposed to do for you?
I was hoping for a relief.
Of what?
Of some kind. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just...
Never...
You know when you get really angry and you punch the wall?
Yeah, try hitting...
Okay, now try doubling that.
Yeah, I understand the impulse to sort of take out the aggression upon yourself. But if intense grief could be treated effectively with this sort of thing, we'd have you do it. But the reality is it doesn't do a thing.
Hold on. You disagree with the meat hook therapy, Drew?
I wish it worked. It'd be a lot simpler than something we actually have to do.
It's very controversial, your thoughts on this. Hold on a second. Hold on, Tracy. We got to take a break. Listen, I know it's going to sound horrible, but this is...
Mom.
The kid checking out may have been a strategic move on the kid's part with this as mama.
Maybe there is a God.
Meat hook mama.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine what the next 18 or 19 years would have been like living with meat hook mom and wherever and whoever the dad is. I'm guessing he's not in the scene. Okay, this is crazy. So I want to get to the SIDS thing and then the meat hook thing and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Randy Jackson is in here from American Idol. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Randy Jackson here tonight from American Idol. Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights on Fox. I was just talking to Randy how envious I am of him and his job, where he just gets to sit there and pass judgment on people and doesn't have
I earned it, baby, 20 years later.
Doesn't have to do all those that nuts and bolts stuff where he's remembering everyone's name and welcoming to and throwing to commercial.
Right.
And then I started thinking about Drew, and I thought, that son of a bitch. He does the same thing. He hasn't even said a word yet.
Right.
All he did is repeat what I said 10 seconds ago. We got to remember all the guys in the band and remember
all those muscles.
Name.
Here's the comedy, though. If I try to do some of that stuff, you get pissed off.
Quiet, yeah, Drew.
There you go.
Quiet, I was talking.
See?
Quiet down. How dare you speak in
front
of
We know
of
you're
me.
A doctor.
Yeah, stay with that. Stick with it.
Doctor, right, bring me the serum. Know. I need the serum.
Then we get into that I'm a cigar store Indian. And
well, he's a little wooden.
Yeah.
A little wooden. All right, now, when we left off, we were speaking to Tracy. Tracy's 22. Tracy had a tragedy happen in her life. Her young infant died of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome.
Yes, right.
Now what is that? But what is that?
You know, I'm not being a pediatrician. I'm not up on exactly what it is. But there are a lot of theories right now about it maybe being accumulation of certain byproducts of respiratory metabolism that accumulate and sort of put people in a somnolent state. So you stop breathing, then accumulates more, and you just completely go out. They used to think that it was because babies were lying a certain way that they weren't exhaling the stuff. Mm.
But no, it's just like a certain small percentage
just
of
get
infants
this.
Get that.
Yeah.
What can you do about it? You can't be inoculated or anything,
no,
can you?
Can't, but now they have, you know, you have to pay attention to them. You lay them down a certain way. You have monitors on them.
Now, this happens later on or can happen at any point?
Yep. It's the first 6 months, I understand.
Wow.
Again.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just pretty much one of those things.
But can I go on a slight tangent here on SARS?
The new adult respiratory thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm getting really kind of angry the way the media is reporting this. There have been zero deaths in the United States, something like 19 cases, and yet I've got patients every day marching off into the Amazon jungle, into, you know, leishmania-infested, dengue-infested areas where you're virtually 50-50 you're going to get a very serious
Hold on,
illness.
You only right. see old right. Jews.
Listen,
who are you seeing?
They travel.
The point is, though,
that people have no problem going into areas where there are serious illnesses, but because this thing has been reported as some sort of, you know, here it comes, there have been a couple hundred cases in the world.
Yeah.
And that's it. And yes, there's WHO and the CDC needs to mobilize and make sure it remains that way. But I saw someone today make a commentary on CNN that was basically saying that they thought the world economy was going to crash because of this.
Really?
And I thought, that is effed up.
What?
That is effed up. Zero deaths of a rare illness, and we have to come to a standstill because of it? Please.
All right. Wow. So no need to panic.
No need to panic.
SARS.
Be careful. Right, let the infectious disease people do their job.
All right. Well, now let's get back to Sid's yes. and Tracy. So then Tracy, in order to sort of cope with the fear or the rage and the anger and all the guilt and all the whatever she had, had herself hung off of some meat hooks, four to be exact. Tracy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can empathize with Tracy being desperate and needing relief
mm-hmm.
and being confused and overwhelmed. I'm angry with the guys that hung her up there.
Yeah.
It's a positive thing also, though. It was kind of a this, too, I can do. Kind of a showing myself that I can get up and I can move on from this. I can handle, you know, all the things that have been going on and I've been handling them. Mm. Then what can't I do? And it's really, it was a boost to get my life started.
Who said that to you, the guys that hung you?
Hmm?
Who said that to you, the guys that did it?
Said that to me?
Yeah, who said that phrase to you that, you know, if you can get through this, you can get through anything?
That was myself.
No. Yeah, well, listen, if you're talking about a triathlon, fine. But if you're talking about a guy socking you in the stomach, it's a different thing. You know what I mean? One's
on
being inflicted
hand,
on you.
Yeah, on the other hand, this is very much like a shock therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Shock therapies are intensive experiences that raise endorphin levels and catecholamines in the brain. So to some extent, there probably is some actual therapeutic value
right.
to mm-hmm. this. So.
Well, if it works, it works. But listen.
They did it for initiation and
no,
for
yeah, I understand.
Reasons also.
Yeah.
That, and that's why the civilization stepped in and stopped all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Mm. That's why all those people are gone. We told them we didn't like that idea. Listen, take your hooks. We're going to need your land. Here's some beads. Hit the road. Hey, Tracy?
Yes.
All right. So anything wrong with you other than this? Something up, right? What's up?
It didn't fill what I needed to fill. It didn't release what I needed.
No. What's going on?
I'm not talking about this.
Why yeah.
Where's your man? Where's the father of the child?
We're in the middle of a divorce.
Mm. Okay. And what kind of guy is he?
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Why are you getting divorced?
Because we weren't good together anymore. He wasn't there for me when I needed him to be.
All right.
And
before this crisis, were you having any other problems? Any other
self? Yeah, we were.
You, though? Any self-mutilation or anything like that before this?
Me?
Yes,
no.
You.
No abuse or anything?
No.
Mm.
Everything's good with your family? You see your dad?
Wonderful. I love my father. My parents have been married for 47 years
no
now.
No substance use
or,
for you?
Sorry, 27 years now.
Substance use for you? No?
No heavy drinking, no drugs?
All right.
Nope.
All right. So this is just, you're trying to deal with grief. And this
all right.
Is
yeah. So you went through this tragedy. You hung yourself off the meat hooks. You feel somewhat liberated. And you're getting a divorce. Now you're 22. And it's time to start anew, right?
But it still didn't.
Yeah, well, it's not. I mean, listen, you go to the tat parlor and have some nut job hanging off a hook for 20 minutes. Obviously, that's not going to take care of all the grief you feel over losing an infant.
If you want to deal with this therapeutically, go do that.
But yeah, it's going to take time.
I thought it was. I thought it cured you.
No, of course not.
So which is it, Tracy? I mean. We were
it gave me a sense of power, but it didn't take away the pain inside, and it didn't release what I needed it to. It just kind of energized it.
Yeah, you need some help.
You been trying anything in the spiritual way at all?
No.
Check that
out. I believe in God. I don't know how happy I am with Him right now, but we'll figure that out.
All right. That's Him. Hey, Tracy. Mm-hmm. Get some therapy. You've been through a pretty traumatic situation.
Or talk to a clergy. That's fine.
Yeah, I would get into the spiritual thing heavy and really sort it out. That can help.
All right, Tracy.
You need a relationship with somebody.
I don't know what she wants. This is what people do all the time. They call the show to announce that this works, and then you say, all right, well, great, you're cured. And then they say, no, it didn't work. I can't say it doesn't work. She has to say. When I say it doesn't work, she says it works.
Yeah.
Right.
She has to say it doesn't work. But obviously the meat hook therapy is something that's probably not going to work for grief counseling.
Same thing with bungee cord, I'm sure.
Yeah. And what is up with these guys that...
That do this thing.
And where do you put it through? You got to go through like fleshy part of your back.
I need a license to put a syringe in.
You know, it's that same like heavy piercing, that whole...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be down if they could do it with Velcro or suction cups
Velcro
or something.
Velcro piercing.
Yeah. Hang me off that.
Pussy hooks?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Woo.
What do you call it? True? You can't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what's going on in here?
Pussies. See, people aren't really...
All right.
Bro. Oh.
All right. All right. Jay?
Hello?
You're 29?
Yeah, that's right.
What's up?
Well, I have two friends of mine. They're schoolmates of mine.
This
and,
is
yeah. We already don't believe you, Jay.
Oh, you don't?
No.
We really don't believe you.
No, you don't?
You don't have the attitude of somebody with an important call.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, okay. You're done, Jake. Jay, it was horrible.
Bad acting.
You got popped in 11 seconds, and the first 8 seconds was you fumbling for the goddamn phone.
Oh, well, that's because we thought you were going to call my other friend, Cheryl. There's three of us.
Yeah, the names that we mentioned here.
All right, Jay.
Yeah.
All right, just...
There's three of us.
Yeah, I know. Look,
Two of my friends, I guess they gave you the skinny on the little...
No. Listen, we're not buying your call, Jay.
You're not... What can I do to change your mind?
Give Drew a BJ.
Nothing.
It's all right, you get off the speaker phone so you and your jack-off buddies stop listening.
This is a cell phone, actually. We had all three of us were dialing at the same time.
All right.
Shut up!
All right, we don't believe you. It says you want to have a threesome.
No, it's not me. It's they do. And I'm the third person. They're the couple. I'm the third person.
All right, don't do it.
I agree. I totally agree. But I wanted them to hear you say that.
All right.
Don't do it.
Well, they just heard it.
Yeah.
Chill.
Yeah, and look, it's that third, you don't need a third nutsack in the sack. You really don't. And first off, a guy could go weird on you while you're screwing this woman.
Yeah.
You might get touched, dog.
or worse than him killing you. He could touch you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy's right. No, there's a few things that could happen, but two of them are bad. One is before you know it, you got a guy that you feel a goatee on the junk.
Yeah, you feel a hand.
And
a rough hand.
A rough hand. You feel a lumberjack. You get the lumberjack hand on the handle.
It's just called a lumberjack.
Yeah, you get the lumberjack.
Rusty, leathery hand.
You get the rusty lumberjack. Or worse, you get it in a different place.
Yeah, woo,
woo. Careful, dog.
Or marginally worse, you start having sex. The guy just flips on you and takes a lamp to the back of your head.
Could easily happen.
Yeah. All right. Caroline?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, my situation, I was in a car accident about 4 months ago. It's going to be 4 months. And I was coming from my boyfriend's house, and I had a little too much to drink. And I lined up on the way home hitting a pool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of my friends and some of my family are blaming him for the accident. They're saying that he could have stopped me. And I don't blame him at all, but I don't know how to deal with it. Like,
are you drinking right now?
No, I'm not.
You have any damage from the accident?
No.
You didn't? No head trauma?
No head trauma.
Hold on a second. Wow, I was cutting her break because I figured she whacked her head on something.
Maybe she hit her mouth or something.
Maybe she hit her mouth or had some surgery on the mouth.
All right. Caroline.
Yeah.
What injuries did you sustain from the accident?
I sprained my neck in a couple places.
No injuries.
No damage in my arm.
Yeah. You didn't swallow the airbag or anything?
No, I know I have kind of a speech problem.
Oh, you do?
From what?
What do you have?
Just the trauma from my head, kind of.
So you did have a head trauma?
Well, I did have head trauma, but I don't have any permanent damage. They said everything will come back, but it'll take time.
You're slurring your speech.
Mm. Yeah. Slurring my speech, and I still seen double.
Seeing double?
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
Well,
were you
head trauma.
How long were you in the hospital for?
I was in a hospital a month and a half. I was in intensive care for about 2 weeks.
Were you in a coma for a while?
Yeah, I was in a coma.
Oh, that would go.
Yeah, okay.
I would say that's head trauma,
exactly,
right?
Head trauma. Well, did you have something called a cerebral contusion, like a sort of a bruise in your brain?
Yeah, that's what they call it. Yeah, but they said it wasn't permanent. So.
I know, but they're very serious, though. So that's,
okay. All right, so your family blames your boyfriend for letting you drive home drunk.
Yeah, like, he could have saved this time. They said he didn't want to be bothered.
How old is he?
22.
You're 16?
Yeah.
We blame him,
too. They blame for that.
Yeah.
He's going to go, hey, baby, have another wine cooler. Come on, loosen up.
Listen, he's contributing.
He's a criminal.
He's contributing to your delinquency just by allowing you to drink in his presence. He's an adult. You're drinking. That's not okay.
No.
And then you're driving on top of that.
Yeah.
Super not okay. How old are your kids, Randy?
13, 7.5, 5.5.
So you're just getting in.
Yeah.
13. Boy or girl, 13?
13, girl.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
So sorry.
Caroline?
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll start hating you soon.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's about 13 and a half, 14.
She's a good kid, though. She's a good kid.
Oh, she's good. She's just not going to like you for about 5 years.
Exactly, right?
That's all right. You stay out of the house.
Keep working.
Move out.
Just send money.
Yeah.
Back. You stay out.
Send lots of money.
You live out in a van in the driveway.
Yeah, in the van.
Hey, Caroline?
Yeah.
Did you break up with this guy?
No, like a lot of my friends and my family want me to, but I truly care about him.
Well, here's what I bet. I bet that it's not only this incident. I bet he's not a great guy.
He's a good, that's the thing, he is a good guy.
Yeah.
What makes him a good guy?
He I know, he cares.
What's he do for a living?
He's going to college still.
Yep, junior college?
Yeah.
No, shocking. That's not college. High school with ashtrays.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything there but killing time and killing brain cells. Probably just dealing weed. This guy's an idiot. And the reason your friends don't like him is not because of this incident, although this is one of the many reasons. They probably didn't like him anyway.
He's an idiot, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He's not the one.
We sound just like everybody else, don't we, Caroline?
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason everyone's saying this.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah.
You need to be with a guy who goes to your high school or something, not some jack-off that graduated 4 years ago, if he did graduate
thank
at all.
Thank God you survived this.
There's a lot of boys out there.
Close call, Caroline. Yeah. This is a close
call. And this guy didn't, now, he bought the booze and all that, right?
Yeah, he bought it.
All right, so you should be in jail just for that.
He didn't, he didn't do any time or get investigated?
No, I got a DUI and...
I know you got a DUI, but didn't someone say, you know, the cops say, where were you coming from? Who were you with? Where did you get the beer? You're underage?
The cops didn't really talk to me. They came to the hospital a couple of times. I was unconscious.
She was out of it.
No. It's going to be my...
Those are horrible injuries, and people... Oof.
I'm going to try that move, but it's not going to work because cops actually show up at the door of the house, and I just tilt my head and sound like I'm sleeping. Well, I guess we got to come back another time and start sleeping. He's dressed.
Ah, oh, dude, you're nuts.
Oh. That's after you answer the door, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I always use that. I always use my female maid voice. Hello. Who's that?
Hello.
No.
I like that, man.
No. He's in Mexico. He said he's never coming back.
That's funny.
Mary? Mary.
Yeah? Marielle.
Turn your radio down, Marielle.
Okay, sorry.
All right, what's up?
Okay, me and my boyfriend were going out for about 2 months, and he called me on Friday and basically, like, broke it off with me, and then, like, I called him back, and he called me back today, and he told me the reason why he broke it off with me is because his family doesn't accept me because I'm Catholic and he's Muslim.
Mm. All right. Good.
Mm. You've been dating him 2 months?
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. So, chalk it up to experience.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
How old is he?
22.
Had you just slept with him when he broke it off?
Have I just slept with him?
In other words, is that the stage your relationship had just gotten to, and then boom, he breaks it off?
Yeah, well, he lives in New York, and I went out to visit him. He flew me out there and, like, you know, like, paid for everything and, like, told me how much he loved me and, like, all that stuff, you know, like, he was totally, like, trying, like, we had already slept
together. Yeah, that's it. There you go.
I guess he was saying thank you.
Yeah.
His way of saying thank you.
Yeah. All right. Now, and also, I don't, you know, if he was really into you, Is he living at home?
No, he has his own business and his, like, house and everything.
All right.
He was just working towards one thing.
If he was really into you, he'd just defy his parents.
Yeah.
He was just working to get where he needed to go.
Why was he with you in the first place? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so worried about his Muslim faith.
He slept with you, and that's it. That's
it's okay. There's a lot of guys out there. So
be careful. Realize some of these guys are that way. They just...
I know. I forgot to add, I have a...
You have a what?
I have a little girl. I have a 2-year-old. So, like, he was, like, really nice. He came down here. He was down there here for, like, 2 weeks.
Marielle. Do not introduce your daughter to any of these guys until they're going to be around. You're sure they're going to be around for at least about 8 years. Do not introduce her to them. You got me?
I got it. That's, I know that's kind of messed up, but, you know.
All right, don't do that. And
what would you think about when it happens?
It's going to – listen. These guys have to prove to you they're going to be around before you introduce your daughter to them.
Because most guys would do anything for the panties, yo.
That's what this guy did.
That's right. All right.
Good times.
All right, Mary.
I love you guys.
You're free and clear of this guy. You break up. You move on.
Okay.
All right.
Love you guys. I listen
love
to
you.
Night.
Love you.
All right.
Yeah, she made that up? Just a little bit of flurry at the end there made me think, oh, is this bogus?
Yeah.
No.
She wasn't that. I don't know. It's weird about flurry. I always got his own business. Yeah. I don't know. I bought it.
Yeah, I bought it, too.
Right. Yeah. And listen, you know, this is a strategy. See, a lot of single moms, especially young single moms, there's a little bit of a damaged goods thing going on with them.
Desperation.
Guys look at it as they can get it's like a they go out to the Sears outlet, get that washing machine with a little dent in the side for half price. That's what they look at.
Get that tricycle.
Yeah.
With the bow on it. Yeah.
They can pick this one up for much cheaper than they normally would, and the chicks are a little bit desperate.
More ready to go.
Yeah. It's not a bad strategy.
Easier to work, huh?
Yeah. Adam?
Dude, guys are just great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, but here's how guys are, I think.
All right. Are we putting ourselves in that category?
No.
Well, okay, all right.
Transcend all this.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. We're deities.
All right, let's see if we agree with
them. Here's what I'm saying. As a guy.
A male, yeah.
As a male, back to my damaged merchandise analogy, you know, you could only afford a $300 washing machine.
So every guy knows what he can afford.
Every guy knows what he can afford. If you can only afford a $300 washing machine, you would rather get the $1,000 one with the dent in the side.
Okay.
That means the kid or strung out on dope or had some past abuse or something. You know, the damaged goods, you'd rather have that one in your house than the crappy
one. So you're kind of saying that most guys kind of fantasize and they fool around in the pimp area.
Yeah,
because that's the pimping area, you know.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they will go the path of least resistance.
There's a pimp in all of us, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You may have two in you, Randy.
Exact 3-4. Yeah,
you may have stolen part of Drew's pimp.
No, I see it over there. He's just a Scarlet Pimpernel.
Scarlet Pimpernel. All right, we got to take a break.
You made mushrooms in last break or something happened.
Yeah, he was holding. I knew he was. That's why I walked out.
There's a bag underneath here, man. Come on.
All right, we're going to take a break. Randy is going to hit the road because he has a very busy schedule. He's got to go home and do hallucinogens and then sleep out in the driveway.
In a van.
His wife, his daughter won't let him in the house anymore.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for coming in. Come back anytime you like.
Dude, Randy. Thanks for having me, man. It was the grooviest thing.
Yeah, we had a good time. And go, everybody, watch that American Idol on Tuesday night, Wednesday night on Fox, and we'll be right back after this. Hey everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Randy Jackson from American Idol has left the building. Good guy.
Great guy.
Good to meet him. All right.
Called me pimp.
Called you pimp.
I've never been called a pimp before.
But you know how those folks are. The pimp, the dog. They're not really talking about pimps and dogs.
No, wait a minute. That was me. They was calling me a pimp. I'm sure of it.
All right.
I feel so much more cool now.
Adam?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, tonight I was with some friends and I was in a jacuzzi. And me and this girl that I'm seeing were kind of, you know, doing stuff, grinding.
Yeah.
And I ejaculated, and I don't know if that could get her pregnant or anything.
Where's the vomit sound?
Yeah. No, where was your penis when it ejaculated? In the intake for the jet, or?
No, it was just...
Free. Anything. Free in the jacuzzi. Yeah.
Just sort of rubbing on her?
What's that?
Was rubbing on her? Or?
This is a move that Adam wishes he could do. He can't quite get this one.
Did you have your hand on it?
No, he's just rubbing.
It was just... You know, it just happened.
It can happen.
But just rubbing on her leg or where?
No. We were grinding.
I know. Where?
Like her pelvis. Like she was...
Like her junk, you know?
Yeah.
All right. It was just rubbing on her junk. Yeah. Well, I'm saying if you ejaculate and you're, you know, up in or around...
No.
It's a little different than just sort of... Drew's explaining the dry hump to me.
Right. This is the action. All right.
Yeah. Oh, it was up against your belly?
No. What? No, we were grinding in the jacuzzi, and I busted nuts.
Oh, shut up, you dick. Right.
You're fine.
I said it was up against your belly.
Yeah. I think that's what he's describing.
Wouldn't it be?
Yes.
Where's it going to be? Here's the deal. So get anybody at 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
6 o'clock is facing the ground while you're humping somebody, yeah. Which is weird.
That didn't work.
Off to the side is weird. And where's that leave? The belly, you dick.
There you go. Anyway,
yeah, I busted a nut in the jacuzzi.
He's wondering if the sperm can find their way to the vagina. No, they can't.
I hope she gets knocked up and the pool man. John?
Hello?
Turn the radio down, please.
Oh. Hey.
Yeah, idiots. Idiots. Candy?
All right.
There she is.
All right, hold on. I'm getting back to idiot John for a second. John?
Hello?
All right, what's up?
Yeah, I want to know if peeing on your feet, like, if it kills foot fungus or some kind of bacteria.
I've heard rumors about it, but listen, you live in a time when you can go to the pharmacy and pick up some antifungals and take care of it.
Save me from gingivitis.
Urine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was you said it was the sperm did that, but no. Okay.
How dare you?
Is there anything bad about peeing on your feet in the shower?
No.
No. Why?
Oh, he doesn't care.
Uh-huh.
Pee on your feet whenever you want. And look, it's not just for showering anymore.
Pee?
Yeah, you can pee on your feet wherever you are.
That's right.
Whatever you want.
Good times.
I take a whiz out of the window in my den once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
What?
I'll take a whiz out of the window.
At your dad's house? What'd you say?
No, my house.
You pee out the second story there?
No, first story.
Watching
TV.
Oh, good times.
I like, you know.
You don't want to go all the way to the bathroom with another 8 feet or so?
No, it's like 12 feet.
Okay.
Candy?
Hello?
You're 23?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Adam? I hope you don't hate me, okay? Because I have a 5-year-old, so that's what I'm going to tell you. Dr. Drew, I have the book you said the other day, I Hate You, Don't Leave Me.
Yeah.
I read it. Guess what? It's me.
It's you. Well, there you go.
It's me and my boyfriend. Now. But anyways, who knows what's happening with that. I have a big problem. I have a lot of problems. This week on Monday, I went to go see a psychiatrist because I was reading that book. Okay. On Tuesday, I went to go see a different kind of doctor, which is, I'm going to say herbal, but it's more like a witch doctor, tarot card, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I went to go see a doctor because my psychiatrist told me she wouldn't be able to see me till Monday, and by then I would probably die. So she told me to go get some medication, and I did for sleeping and for... I guess depression. Well, the lady that read the cards, okay, this is what I'm really calling, I guess. Mm-hmm. The lady that read the cards to me, this is going to sound weird, but please trust me.
Right.
She told me that I had been molested. And, of course, almost every girl has. But this is correct. She told me she described who it was. She told me it was a stepfather. And then she told me it was a female cousin of mine. I have never told anyone that a female cousin of mine had did it. The female cousin was the one I told about my stepfather, which was the one that brought it out in the open about my stepfather.
Wow, that's interesting. Spooky.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, but let me explain.
And I never said it to anyone. This is the second time I've said it.
You don't know what you tell these people. You don't know the clues that you give these people as you go along.
But isn't, you know what, but this is, okay, I'm still going
whatever, it's
more.
still
yeah,
wild.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They never just sit you down and go, you're molested, stepfather, female cousin. They go... They just spat that out right as you sat down.
I'm serious. I'm not even trying to lie to you. My problem was when I went to go see her, to be honest, my problem was this boyfriend that I'm having that's an on and off thing for this whole year. So that was my problem. And she brought this up, which is an even deeper problem.
Hang on a second, Candy, one second. People tell us about relationships 3 sentences in, we know they've been abused too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we usually start with a stepfather.
All right.
Okay. Well, this stepfather, you want me to start there?
No.
Okay.
What's the question?
Okay. Well, she told me, I asked her if anybody that they were living with were still being molested because I completely forgave my stepfather and I blew off her and I never told anybody. And I was molested by other people and she also told me that, but whatever, we're not talking about them. So my cousin, the female one, the lady told me that her three girls are being molested by their father and their uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I know, of course, I know their father and I know their uncle. And for some reason, and Drew, you tell me if this is true, I feel like I can sense a child molester.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Okay, you know them. You know them like crazy.
Oh God, my heart is.
You can sense those out. Yes, in fact, you'll look for them.
Hold on.
Guess what? You'll be attracted to them. You'll look for them as boyfriends. You'll have all kinds of interesting reactions to them.
They gross me out. They gross me out. If they look at me, I mean, since I was young, I was molested so young that, you know, and I was. Throughout my whole childhood and youth.
Certain ones will gross you out. You'll hate certain ones, and other ones you'll find incredibly intriguing and attractive in a way that you can't explain.
Okay, what if... I don't know, this is weird.
That's the way our brains work.
Well, they told me that about her children. What do I do about that? Do I ask the little kids?
Are you related to these people?
Oh, yeah, she's my cousin. The mother of the three little girls is my cousin.
All right.
You're going to have to start collecting some evidence, that's all. And then as soon as you have anything decent...
Can I ask any of the little... Wait,
hold on a second.
What?
People versus Madame Tussaud? you know what I mean?
I know.
Evidence she's collecting is tarot cards.
I know, but that's the point. She's going to have to come up with some hard evidence. And asking the kids, unfortunately, I don't think we'll do it.
No, but here's the thing. I don't think Candy is in any shape to do anything. And plus, she's on medication, or needs to be on medication.
She's on medicine.
I want to see what we can do for these kids.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that because they're in her family tree, something is going on because their entire family's a mess. And I would just assume everybody who was in there was a victim or a victimizer until proven otherwise. But... Candy's 23. Candy's got a 5-year-old. Candy's a mess. Candy doesn't have a man. Candy needs to be on medication. Candy's going to the tarot card reader.
I understand.
What is she supposed to do?
All right, but Candy's starting to see a psychiatrist, starting to take care of herself.
She needs to talk to the psychiatrist about it.
Yeah.
Candy?
Yeah, this is exactly what I'm trying to do. See, the whole thing, the psychiatrist started when I went into her, and that was the first time I ever said anything about my female cousin.
That's the only reason why I said to the witch lady, because my cousin,
that brought up stuff that I had never told nobody, and then she made me about her girl, okay. Which scared the heck out of me.
Okay, listen to me. I'm going to tell you a couple things. I'm going to hang up on you.
No, don't hang up on me, please. I have more. Dr. Drew, why can you smoke weed and be happy, and I can't?
Okay, just shut up and listen to me.
It doesn't work like
listen,
that.
Listen, let me give you priorities. You need to, A, take care of your 5-year-old.
Yes.
Okay, number one. B, don't have any more kids.
I got that down, believe me. That's why
okay.
Don't hate me. I know that
C,
one.
Follow the directions of the psychiatrist.
Watch the people you bring around your 5-year-old so this kind of thing doesn't happen, although maybe it already has. D, do not deal with this tarot card person anymore. You deal with the doctors, with the psychiatrist, okay?
And tell them. Tell them.
You tell them what you think about the situation with your nieces
and nephews.
Even
just your instincts about it. They're valid, that you feel like there's something going on there. And see if you can get some direction. And when you have some evidence, something that maybe you work with your psychiatrist developing, then you go to the authorities with it.
Oh. I'd just like to call an airstrike in on the whole. Just call them from Riverside.
The whole
regime.
Can't
we just take Riverside out? Imagine the utopia we'd be living in if we just took out River. We just treat Riverside like Baghdad. Riverside, where's the other place we need to take out, Drew?
Fontana.
Fontana.
Play Bakersfield.
Bakersfield.
Yes, of course.
True. Come on, baby. Bakersfield. I think we'll call in an airstrike against Bakersfield and Riverside, and then I think things will work out a little better for this part of the country. Yes? And then I'm going to start going to work on parts of Florida. Jess?
Yeah, hi.
You're 25. What's up?
I have, a fishy smell downstairs that probably started maybe about 5 days ago. Last night, I used a douche.
Any new sexual partners?
No.
A douche isn't going to do anything for that.
And it didn't. Yeah. It's still there. I don't know if it has to do with diet. I mean, I don't see
anything. It's an infection, and you need to call a doctor and get... There's a cream, an antibacterial cream they can give you. It'll take care of it, no problem.
What was the flavor of the douche?
Vinegar.
Oh, really? Yeah, vinegar never solved anything.
Would there be anything else with it? I mean, there's no abnormal discharge or no itching or any signs of anything else. It's just
that may come later, but the smell usually is infection.
So I don't have a doctor or anything. So do you know of any like clinics in the area of Los Angeles that are around here that I could go to?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them.
You open the phone book, there's lots of them. In West LA, there's tons of them.
Okay.
And you have a boyfriend now?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, so you want to...
How long have you been sleeping with him?
2 years.
2 years. And oof. Any chance he cheated?
No.
Okay.
All right. You want to clear this up for him?
Oh, he's in here. He knows about it. He knows that I'm on the phone right now because he's the one that noticed it first.
No, I mean, you want to clear up the problem for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good times. That's good of you.
Okay.
Everything else going okay?
Everything's great.
You got a little ex-junkie sound to you.
I have a what?
Little ex-junkie sound to you.
Ex-junkie? What is that?
Junkie's a person who does drugs.
Who's in recovery?
Junkie,
yeah.
No, not at all.
You're good, huh?
Smoke way too many cigarettes, probably, but that's about it.
No, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of recovering speed people smoke tons of cigarettes.
No. Yeah.
And so that's the sound I hear.
Don't mess with that.
Okay, baby doll.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Good luck with that coos. Yeah, there's free clinics. I used to go to them all the time. You just, you know, if you don't mind standing around being sort of mistreated for a while, it's fine. But,
All
right. You know, I was just thinking a couple times I've been to these clinics when they prescribe these drugs. I mean, if you don't have insurance, stuff's expensive, you know, at the pharmacy.
You're paying for drugs anyway most of the time. I mean, insurances don't often or always pay for drugs.
Well, they oftentimes put a good dent in it if you have a decent policy.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm just saying, I paid like $23 for some cream to put on my dork, you know, because I had a yeast infection. And by the time I got home, the thing was gone. I never used it. Yeah. And then I wanted to sell the cream.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
You do all the other drugs that you collect.
It's $23. No, I eat those.
Oh, sorry.
This I had no use for. $23, you know, the size of a small tube.
And that was
of toothpaste.
In the 70s, too, right? Or the early 80s?
Not what do you mean, the 70s.
When did you get that cream?
I got the creams probably early 90s.
Oof. You were still going to the free clinics then?
I didn't have insurance until I was 31. Mm. Please, how dare you, Drew? Mr. Silver Spoon over there. Dad paying his way through med school, buying off the professors. That's right.
Randy sure reacted to that singing, didn't he? He was like, oh, no, get rid of that. Stop that.
Your dad coming down every day in his slippers and silk bathrobes, smoking a pipe. There's little Lord Drew sitting. What'd you play back then, Drew? The pipe organ or something? I see you sitting at a big gilded piano with a candelabra on
harpsichord.
It. Harpsichord. Harpsichord. Wearing one of those blue boy type outfits, right? Father.
With a stick and a...
Mumsy says I can go out and play. Is that the way it was?
That's how it was, yeah.
All right.
Very good.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, buddy, love line, Adam. That's Dr. Drew. All right, let's get back to phones and see if we can make some hay while the sun shines. Yeah, this close to dropping trial, buddy. Good drop trial. Ashley?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question. Well, first I want to tell you that I really like your show. I've been listening since I was probably like 12.
Since you're the zygote.
Great. What's up?
So, I've been seeing my boyfriend for, like, the past 3 years. We were friends for about 6 months before we actually started dating. We're not sexually active, and my parents really like him, and his family doesn't like me because I'm underage.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 21.
Yeah. Your family should not like him because he's overage.
Right.
Well, they love him. I mean, he's a machinist. He graduated high school with, like, a 3.5 GPA. He's going to a trade school, and he's, like, the perfect guy for my dad because my dad's, like, he likes guys at work, you know,
yeah.
for a living.
All right.
For a living? They work for a living? It's
like... I work for a living. That's right.
Yeah, well,
I'm engaged to be married. All right.
But they really like him, and we talked about, like, our future plans and stuff, but I'm really the first person he's ever really been with.
He hasn't been with you, though. A first girlfriend, you mean?
Well, yeah, like a steady relationship.
It is a little weird that he started dating you when he was 18 and you were 14 or 15.
Well, we knew each other for a while.
All right. Yeah. But you're not having sex, so that's fine.
There you go.
So what's the big problem?
We're holding off because of the age purpose.
All right, that's good. That's good.
So what's up with his parents, and who cares?
Well, I don't really care. They just don't like me. Well, his mom likes me, but his dad doesn't like me.
So he needs to tell his dad to shut up.
Oh, well, he loves his dad, so I can't really do that, but I try.
All right.
But,
when's he going to move out of the house?
Well, he already has. He can't leave town, I guess.
Why not?
Legal problem?
Well, his job, for one, it's like the machinist industry is really bad, but yeah, he can't leave town because of his job, and I don't want to live out here, so.
Wait a minute. Why? I don't understand where he lives and where you live.
Yeah.
I live in Long Beach. I still live with my parents because I'm underage. And my boyfriend lives out in Hemet with one of his friends.
Hemet?
Yeah, that's about...
Wow, it's like Corona, right?
Yeah, that's like 15 miles away from Riverside, like east, I think.
Adam was going to have that taken out.
Yeah, well, that might be part of the collateral damage after I napalm Riverside. And by the way, if I napalmed Riverside, wouldn't look any different.
There's just a bunch of rusted cars and rocks out there,
a bunch of dried riverbeds and people wandering in circles waiting to die.
Okay, so Ashley,
I don't know what your problem is. I no longer care.
Yeah,
it took you 3 minutes to tell us all about this guy's machining life.
Yeah.
And they lived in Hemet. You're 17. You'll be 18 soon.
It's all good. It's fine.
The relationship seems to be going fine.
He's not having sex. That's good.
You can move out and see him when you're 18.
Yeah.
Bob?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a girlfriend, and she's 17, and I kind of feel like a little, like, weird, you know, kind of like almost like a child molester because I'm going out with a girl that's, like, 3 years younger than me.
Yeah.
That's weird, yep.
She in high school?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Huh?
What are you doing?
I'm going to college at a community college.
Oh. We gotta figure out another word for that other than going to college.
Yeah.
It's unfair to the people that are actually attending universities.
Yeah.
All right. And what are you studying?
Huh?
It's always funny.
One word also.
Everyone has that. What kind of book learning are you doing over there?
What kind of classes are you taking?
I'm taking nursing classes.
Okay. Oh, you want to be a nurse?
Yeah.
Well, this is my one exception for going to community college.
Yeah.
If you're going there to do the nursing, Drew, you've heard me say this before. That's fine.
Okay.
You're gay.
When are you going to, Drew, please, when are you going to get your credential?
Hmm?
What?
My credential? You mean my degree?
Hmm?
In probably like 2 years. I just started.
Don't you get sort of accredited or some kind of credential or something for nursing? Is there
it's a nursing degree.
Specific program?
Yeah, you get a nursing degree and then you have to take like a certification test.
All right. Well, you're going to be learning to work in a doctor's world.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's fine. And you're having sex with your girlfriend, though, right?
Yeah.
What's the age of consent over there in Washington State? Is it legal?
16.
16?
Yeah, 16.
All right, it's legal. You're getting your nursing degree. You sound like a decent enough guy.
The fact that you're kind of uncomfortable with it suggests you have a moral compass, and you understand that it may not be the greatest things for her, and that perhaps she's in sort of a different place in her life than you are. So be kind to her. Take care of her.
Yeah, Bob was okay.
Yeah.
As soon as I found out he was actually studying something in junior college, I was fine with him.
Yeah.
All right. But yet he's 20. Could have graduated by now. Know what I'm saying?
He's done the nursing thing.
Bob?
Yeah?
How are your grades?
Well, I just started. I took like 2 years off because I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I decided I wasn't going to start college until I got my problem under control.
Good for you. How's your recovery going?
Pretty good. I've had like 5 months since my last relapse.
Congratulations. How's your relationship with the sponsor now?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. You're doing good. And I can see in those white shoes, the tights, and the candy striper outfit already.
Candy striper.
All right. That nurse, not a bad gig, right? It's a horrible gig, but the pay's okay, right?
Yeah.
They're in demand.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What do you start off? You got 45, 50 grand? Maybe a little more? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Pulling catheters out of old guys' dorks all day? Putting them in? Nothing wrong with that. Dimitri?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Dude, love the show. Love you, Adam. You guys are great.
Good times.
All right. Well, Dr. Drew, here's the deal. Every time I get done playing drums, I go home and there's a lot of blood in the urine.
And you've never had that checked out?
I did. I've been to the doctor a couple times, and the first time they said, it started off as just a really sharp pain in, like around just like the lower abdomen.
Look, here's the deal. It could be a kidney stone.
That's what they told me.
It could be just trauma from the repetitive beating you give yourself.
Maybe he rocks that hard.
There's such a thing. People.
So I'm so rocking.
You rock. I mean, like a good band will make your ears bleed.
At that age, runners can get this sort of thing. However, there are a number of other conditions that can be rather serious and can present with bleeding in the urine and need to be checked out thoroughly. Did they do blood tests on you?
Yeah, all my urine tests. They found blood in the urine when they put it under the microscope.
Did they do a blood test on you?
Yeah, blood test came out perfectly normal.
Did they do a...
Came out perfectly
what
normal.
X-rays did they do?
What's that?
What X-rays did they do?
They did X-rays of the kidneys.
IVP? Were they injected dye into you?
No.
They might want to do that. Or at least they do ultrasounds?
All right.
They did ultrasound?
No, they didn't.
All right, you need some more testing on the kidney before they're quite done, but... and if it keeps going, you need to kind of keep...
But it only happens when he's drumming.
I understand, but...
It's that movement.
It could be, but...
Why would it only happen when he's drumming?
Because that might just be what irritates it enough to precipitate the bleeding.
Yeah.
It may just be kind of happening subclinically.
There it is. Boy, I guess that's the show.
Oh, boy.
Can't pee in public places. Hold on a second.
Places.
Okay, I corrected myself a millisecond after I mispronounced it, you jackass. Dan?
Sleeping.
Okay, good enough.
Hello?
Ooh.
Oh.
Hello?
Dan?
Yeah. Hey. I just have a real quick question. I'm afraid to go to the bathroom at a public school.
Pee shy.
Huh?
At a public school.
Yeah.
Or public bathroom, restroom, yeah?
What if you go into the stall and close the door?
No, it's just I just go home.
You can't go in the stall and close the door?
Right.
Well, there is such a thing.
I'm afraid someone will kick the door in when I go to the bathroom.
There is such a thing as people that get anxious that way. And, I don't know of good treatments for that.
You just get over it.
You do eventually get over it.
17, you're squirrely. You get over it. We'll be back. Bad Religion in here tomorrow night.
Nice.
Good guys, good band, good music, smart guys. Always look forward to seeing them. So, I want to thank Randy Jackson for coming in here tonight from American Idol.
Another good guy.
And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. You know how those folks are. The pimp, the dog. They're not really talking about pimps and dogs.
No, wait a minute. It was me. They was calling me a pimp. I'm sure of it.
All right.
I feel so much more cool now.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.